Now, first I'll read the translation and then we can repeat each phrase after me. It was by his mercy only that my enemies neglected to kill me when I descended from my chariot to get water for my thirsty horses. And it was due to my lack of esteem for my Lord that I'd dared to engage him as my chariot driver. For he worshipped and offered services. For he is worshipped and offered services by the best men to attain salvation. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the object of worship both by impersonalists and by the devotees of the Lord. The impersonalists worship his glowing effulgence, emanating from his transcendental body of eternal form, bliss and knowledge. And the devotees worship him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who are below even the impersonalists consider him to be one of the great historical personalities. The Lord, however, descends to attract all by his specific transcendental pastimes. And thus, he plays the part of the most perfect master, friend, son, and lover. His transcendental relation with Arjuna was in friendship, and the Lord therefore played the part perfectly, as he did with his parents, lovers, and wives. While in such a perfect transcendental relation, the devotee forgets, by the internal potency of the Lord, that his friend or son is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although sometimes the devotee is bewildered by the acts of the Lord. After the departure of the Lord, Arjuna was conscious of his great friend. But there was no mistake on the part of Arjuna or any ill estimation of the Lord. Intelligent men are attracted by the transcendental acting of the Lord. With a pure, unalloyed devotee like Arjuna, in the war field, scarcity of water is a well-known fact. Water is very rare there, and both the animals and men, they work strenuously on the war field. Constantly, they require water to quench their thirst. Especially wounded soldiers and generals who feel very thirsty at the time of death. And it sometimes so happens that simply for want of water, So for want of water, one has to die unavoidably. By such scarcity of water was solved at the Battle of Kurukshetra by means of boring the ground. By God's grace, the water can be easily obtained from the place where there is a facility for boring in the ground. The modern style system of works of the same principle of boring in the ground, but modern engineers are still unable to dig immediately wherever necessary. It appears, however, that from the history as far back as the days of the Pandavas, the big generals like Arjuna could at once supply water even for the horses, what to speak of men, by drawing water from underneath the hard ground, simply by penetrating the stratum with a sharp arrow. A method still unknown by the modern scientists. So, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Milatom Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Taitanya Manobhistam Siddhapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Karamayam Dadati Savapatantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapat Kamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Ragana Tanavitam Tam Sadevam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parajana Sahitam Krishna Taitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakana Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosatu De Tapta Kanjana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishvare Vishalpanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Pre Vancha Kaupatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanabeyo Vaishnavabeyo Namo Namaha. So those wonderful prayers are basically putting us in touch with everybody we need to be in touch with to help us in this class and hear this class. And what it's telling each of us, maybe in a different way, a message, personal message. And maybe we can find out a personal message today. So Prabhupada, it's a wonderful purport. He's telling us so many things. But it tells that the difference between today, how we can do things, either mechanic with the material energy, or we can do things with through the spiritual energy, the enablement, the facility of Krishna's empowerment, because that's what we're looking at in everything we do. Actually, is to realize that we're empowered. It's a special day. Certainly, I felt Mother Kalangana would empower me in different ways, either instruction that could be heavy or gentle and kind and encouraging. So, but both are mercy. And I won't be here to glorify her, because she wouldn't want me to do that. She said, glorify Prabhupada. Glorify him. I'm not here to hear these words. So, under her instruction, I'm going to glorify Prabhupada as best I can through this verse. Now, I've got my little book here somewhere. Oh, Krishna Chaitanya. Yes. Jai Prabhupada. But this is very helpful. It's a wonderful book, little book that was brought out. It was a festival of Prabhupada. I think it was maybe the establishment of this ISKCON. And it's his prayers. Because if we speak Prabhupada's prayers, they're very powerful. And he said here, I'll do the English translation. My dear Lord Krishna, you are kind, so kind upon this useless soul, but I don't know why you've brought me here. So this was his arrival in America. He says, but I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to this terrible place? Most of the population here is covered by the modes of passion and ignorance, absorbed in the material life. They think themselves very happy and satisfied, and therefore they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudeva. I do not know how they will be able to understand it, but I know your causeless mercy can make everything possible. You are the most expert mystic. I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. The words of the Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation. And if a sober person repeatedly receives it through the submissive oral reception, then he will be able to understand your message. That's a good message for us, isn't it? Submissive oral reception. And it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.17.21. Sri, the English translation. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is Paramatma, the soul, super soul, in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of a truthful devotee, cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee, who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which in themselves are virtuous when they're properly heard and chanted. And Mother Kalangani, you would always instruct me. In glorification of the previous acharyas, she says, you must speak like a pure devotee. So we've got to pretend sometimes. But it's under instruction, so I'm safe. I can pretend because I've been told to speak like a pure devotee. In other words, to pass it on. And it says here, by regular attendance of the Bhagavatam classes, by rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome in the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established irrevocably in the heart, as an irrevocable fact. And Bhagavatam is speaking of itself there. It's saying this sound vibration will penetrate your heart. It is a sound vibration. And providing we're passing on the message as we've been directed, it will definitely penetrate the heart, because you're being empowered by somebody else to try and do that. Then it says, as soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of the nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and becomes extremely happy. Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by the contact of devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. So we've been told to practice devotional service. then the Lord will enlighten us from within. He's the super soul. And so he's the one, as it says in Bhagavad Gita, I think it's 10.8 purport, it says, we're never without guidance, either from within or outside of ourselves, devotees. Never without guidance. And it's something to appreciate that. So here, this constant guidance is with us, but it's under the instruction of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is non-different from Krishna himself. It came in place, you could say, of Krishna to bring himself to us. It's a message, a personal letter to every one of us, how we can get close to him. I'm trying to think. I think it was Maguru Maharaj who said, yeah, you must understand that actually Krishna's sending you a personal letter to which you can understand what is being said to you. And so if we become established in this mode of goodness by practicing devotional service, the Lord will purify us, will become purified. And as they say, it's like this devotional service, like a fire. We have to be put into the fire of devotional service. And this fire, this devotional service will become fire, like the fire, will become hotter and hotter. The body, ourselves, will become purified. And until the end, that this material body will no longer be under the influence of the modes of material nature. It will be burnt. It will be spiritualized. All our senses, it says in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, sarva padi vinir muktam tat parvena nirmalam hishikesa rishikesa sevanam bhakti uchate. It says, bhakti or devotional service means engaging all our senses in the service of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master of the senses. He's the Master of the senses. He's the one that will purify us. It says, so, and there are two side effects if we engage our senses in this way, that we'll be purified from all material designations, man, woman, Christian, Muslim, will be free from those material designations. And we'll understand that our senses will be purified in such a way that we'll see just the message of Krishna, that actually we're all his servants, that we'll be free from these material designations. And we'll be able to see each other as spirit souls, the parts and parcels of Krishna. And that's the vision. But it happens by engaging in devotional service. We become fire. The bodies become fire. They become burnt up in the fire of devotional service. So it says, thus, when the heart is pierced of all misgivings are cut into pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated, and one sees the self as the master. It's a mysterious statement to make. He says, but the self has two parts to it. It's we, the individual spirit soul, covered with a material body. And the Supreme Lord, he's there, super soul, accompanying us in this material adnostria. He's our friend. And he declares this in the Bhagavatam, is in this most confidential knowledge of chapter 9, that he's our best friend. And also in chapter 5, Suhirtam, You know, as long as we know that he's our best friend, how can we be afraid? You know, he wants to save us. So what we've got here is just it's a message of life to save us from ourselves in the material world and to purify our existence. We've been given all this wonderful Krishna Katha, which then takes over our lives. And gradually, we get a taste. We get a taste. Why? If we're engaged with our sincere heart, that actually not expecting the results of our activities to be, I'm a great speaker, I'm a great singer, I'm a great whatever it is. We aren't great. We're to learn that we're not great, that Krishna's great. And Prabhupada says about Krishna's greatness, he says, I'm not your friend, and I'm not going to tell you I'm your friend, but I'm going to tell you who your best friend is. That's the message of Krishna. I've got to tell him, Krishna's your best friend. I'm just passing on his message. So, and we might say, well, he's our friend then. Only in such a way that he's repeating what Krishna's trying to tell us. That I'm there waiting as your friend. That that somehow Prabhupada is just passing on like a postman. A message of Krishna to us. And it's a very simple process, and this is what we do in our devotional service. We pass on a message that Krishna's passed on. We don't go into the depths of the gopis and their relationship with Krishna, with anybody like that, because it may not be our capacity to even relate to that. We tell them what we've been told. Krishna's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to your level of understanding. But you've got to know who you're speaking to as well. That's why it tells us we don't preach to those who will probably blaspheme the Lord. You know? So we have to be thoughtful in who we express this message of Krishna. We keep the message simple in accordance with those we address. So that's important to know. And this is why Mela Kalingana says to me, you must read from what Prabhupada's prayers are. You must read his purports. They're perfect. I'm imperfect. But they're helping me pass on the perfect message. And so, and this is the Paramahansa, you know, the pure devotee, that is giving us a message that that we should repeat to others in whatever way we can. So it's coming up to 8:30 now, and so. I'm offering my respectful obeisances to Mother Kalangana, who's taught me that as long as I speak from Prabhupada, I'll be safe. We'll all be safe. That it's his message that he's brought to us as a member of the spiritual world. He's a Shaktivesh avatar. He's passing on that which he's experienced in his previous existence. And he's come to rescue us. And so, all glories to Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions, comments? Yeah, Srinivas Prabhu.
You mentioned in your class how we are all females and Krishna is supreme male. Mm. But I think for the general public to speak like that will be very difficult for them to understand it.
Yes,
so definitely. We have to make them understand that we are spirit soul.
Yeah, spirit soul. That's true. Yeah. And thank you for that. Because it's true. We should somehow convey in such a way to say that we're messengers with a message from which tells us about God, even. You know, I think you're right, Srinivas, when you say that, and we've got to be careful, but. You know, it just brings that in the memory of a gentleman coming out of a pub, and he looked at me because I was in a dhoti and everything, and he said, "Oh, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know, look at you. You're nonsense." And that triggered the message in my heart. We got to understand we are nonsense. And I said to him, yes, I am nonsense, but I'm trying not to be. And instead of reacting, he became friendly then, because he thought that was sort of amusing. You know, I said, I'm trying not to be nonsense, and this is why I'm speaking to you. And I asked him, you know, would you take a book? He said, no, thanks. No, not really. Thank you. But he says, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a donation. And he gave me a donation. So it went from a platform of nonsense to friendship and a donation. So it can lead to anything. So who you speak to, like Srinivas says, bear it in mind that somehow in Kripa Maya, he would always say to us if we were going out, befriend people. That's the message of the devotees. Because friendliness means that we're friendly to every living entity. We're doing what Bhagavatam says. But we're friendly in different ways. And so, but we've got to know who we're speaking to. Otherwise, it could become offense and bar their way to Krishna. So, thank you for that, Srinivas Prabhu. Yeah. Anybody else? Any comment? Yes. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for the class.
Yeah.
So, I suppose we can understand this male-female thing, or us being females.
Yeah.
In the context that. That Krishna is a supreme enjoyer, and likewise, like it is said that also the woman is for the pleasure of the man, so the man enjoys the woman.
Yeah.
So in likewise, Krishna enjoys us because he's a supreme enjoyer. So we're female.
Yeah.
In that sense.
Yeah. Yeah. We should understand we're here for procreation of devotees. Basically, if we become a devotee, we try and bring up then our children as devotees, and that's our the message of procreation, that we want to bring children into the world that are Krishna conscious, that we pass on their message to them as best we can onto our family members. And that's the whole idea of procreation in this world, that it has, that's its positive nature, that we want more devotees and children coming into the world so they can be educated in Krishna consciousness and brought to Krishna too. And that's our duty. So procreation is for that purpose only. There's enjoyment. We've been given this physical body for two reasons. One for the modes of material nature and one for spiritual reasons. And if we understand the difference between both, then we don't take advantage of this pleasure, sort of pleasurable senses of this body, you know, which can be a nuisance. They can get in the way. And Definitely from my point of view. But I give you an example. On book distribution on the Isle of Wight, when you're doing giving out books to people, women come up. And you can't say, oh, you can't turn them away. But they're sort of semi-clad, you know. But when you start to, you know, they want to find out what's in there, and you start to talk about what's in the book, their body disappears. Krishna from within then all of a sudden takes over. And then you start to explain what's in this book as best you can. And this is the joy of passing on the message. Because Krishna will protect you as you try and convey the message. Their body disappears. And the message becomes more prominent than what is in front of you as a physical appearance. So it's a mystical thing. But that's the Supreme Lord. You're never without protection if you start to try and share this Krishna consciousness. You know, so we, you know, it's this sort of fascinating thing. Likewise, ladies, we've got to be so careful. They need protection against, they've got a certain nature. And Prabhupada, he said, less intelligent, didn't he? He said that this is the problem. Womanly nature of this world, not Vaishnavi I'm not talking about, but womanly nature of this world is that they're easily fooled by sweet words. And they become susceptible to them. That they believe them. But they don't realize this is a man in front of them that wants their body for what they want. And so we have to know the difference between Vaishnavi and a person under the influence of the modes of material nature. And who we're addressing. But the message will definitely take over if you're trying to pass on the transcendental message that the Lord from within will always protect you. And certainly, but within your family life, Prabhupada just speaks, don't take advantage of the bodily nature. It says that you should understand your nature and just be very careful and know what your nature has been given for. You know, so a tiger, you don't cuddle a tiger, do you? No. You have to know that actually it's dangerous. So you have to respect that living entity within his body. Likewise, we should respect each other within the terms of them being a devotee or on the bodily platform whom we're preaching to. We have to give all due respect but it's because it's a spirit soul in there who we're trying to pass on a message to. So from a devotional point of view, then we'll be protected and know our position as a Vaishnavi and a Vaishnava. That we won't say a man is superior. And that use, and I had this happen. I had a Mataji over the phone, how somebody, her husband, treated her like an object of the senses. And he was supposed to be a devotee, but he was treating on the material platform. And she was in distress, and she didn't know what to do. And I couldn't really advise her. I said, you really need to speak to a lady devotee on this, you know. But obviously, you need protection. So you have to go to a devotee and get support on this. And know what's happening. That though this person, who's your husband, is taking advantage of or twisting the philosophy to suit his desire, then you have to get your protection of another lady, another advice, a Vaishnavi, and to know, to give yourself perspective and to know where to go from there. And generally, then they have to speak with either the Shiksha Guru, who is probably generally a lady, or their spiritual master, if it involves the same spiritual master. Then you can address it to the spiritual master. And the spiritual master, he won't necessarily intervene, but if there is, and they're under the same spiritual master, and I know this was the case of this lady, that they shared the same spiritual master. And I said that actually, that you now may have to write to your spiritual master of the situation. He won't necessarily sort it, but he'll try and do it in such a way that both will tell them, both disciples will be told the situation. He can't sort the thing. It ends up down to individuals trying to do the best they can with their lot. So awkward situations this body can render in even in devotional life.
Yeah. I suppose, Prajna Prabhu, that the pleasure potency is in the male as well, to enjoy, like Krishna. Yeah. But we can't do it like Krishna because he is a supreme enjoyer and it's a perverted reflection as we understand it.
That's
down
here. Right. Yeah.
So, but that potency is there in Radharani to give Krishna pleasure.
Yeah.
So we could see ourselves, all of us, as the enjoyed.
Yeah.
And Krishna is the enjoyer.
Yeah. It's sort of sahaji if we're not careful. We got to be careful because that's what sahajis do.
What do they do? They
think of themselves. They dress up as gopis and stuff like that, and men, you know, and they're pretending to be gopis, and they take on the guise of a gopi, you know. It's just men dressing up, and then they get involved with the senses. They try and enjoy with their senses, you know. It's a completely perverted version of Krishna consciousness. They're just saying, well, Krishna can do it, I can do it. They don't know the tattva. They don't know what Prabhupada's given us, this message. He's telling us what makes us safe. And you follow certain regulative principles under the guidance of religious principles of procreation. And just know that. And you have to take that on as part of your understanding and follow them. As best you can, knowing that you're fallible, knowing that this propensity is still there. You really have to. That's why it says no illicit sex.
But we can enjoy, but within there are regulations.
You can't help it. The body will.
The body. There's enjoyment. We mustn't forget. But there's enjoyment.
You forget
restrictions.
Yes. But you have to understand that enjoyment is not you; it's your body.
Well,
You can separate your body from you have to do that.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, let's bring it out. Even in procreation, there's some pleasure, or else people wouldn't probably do it. And then you bring forth nice children, but there's Krishna designed it in such a way that there's pleasure.
No, you can't stop the body. Yeah. Body will experience pleasure. You know, he says, how else would you procreate? Would you take on children? If there wasn't some connection for enjoyment, this is why people do. They're trying to be Krishna. They're expanding their families like little, they think, you know, is part of their enjoyment in material life. Their family, friends, relatives, all these things. They're trying to expand their false ego. It's because it's to do with false ego. It's false ego, but we're not that false ego. We're not the body. We don't relate to the body. The body is a nuisance. It's a nuisance. But we treat it as with respect, because it's Krishna gave us this body, it's his, and he will give us devotional service. These things, the service, will purify us in such a way that we'll be in control. At all times, we'll just know what's happening.
So you could say that when the body is engaged, it's no more like useless or nonsense, it's something good.
When it's engaged in devotional service, that will purify us. And immediately say, what am I doing? You know, if we're getting carried away, or, you know, we start to be attracted to other women or whatever, it means that we're not absorbed in what we're doing, that we're trying to enjoy our devotional service. You know, they say, enjoy, enjoy. No. Krishna is to enjoy. This wife of mine is Krishna's dasi, not my dasi. And the wife should think that the man is, this is Krishna's das, not my das. We have to understand that. And so, and if they say, he's not pleasing me, she's not pleasing me, they're on the wrong platform. They're on the wrong platform. If they say, that's the understanding, that this is Krishna's dasi, not my dasi. This is Krishna's das, not my das, from a lady's point of view. So, it's getting a perspective. And this is why we're in discussion now. It's to help each other and support each other in that understanding. Because we should support the ladies ashram in their propensity, their very wonderful devotional qualities. But the men must act as protectors of them as well, from ourselves or our nature. You know, we should understand, just know your situation and it'll get it. Because the more you discuss and like you ask questions, that it will bring a good message, that we will understand ourselves, each other, much more. You know, none of us are great, and that dainya, I think humility, is one of those things that we really have to learn very quickly. And just saying, you know, there's something happening here. And we have to admit it to ourselves, first and foremost. Like the alcoholic, he can't be saved from his alcoholic addiction unless he admits he's an alcoholic and that he's addicted to drink. It's a position of humility. So he then goes to other alcoholics who've conquered, so-called, it's still there, the bodily propensity, to get support how to come away from this. And it's to said, the first lesson for an alcoholic is to admit they're no longer in control of their habit, their addiction. It's humility on all of us, and that's what we should do. That's why you have authorities. Spiritual authorities and service authorities to say, do like this, do like this, do like this, do like this. It's a mutual support system, but it's done. You know, if somebody is tries to be your spiritual master, your spiritual guide, and they're not, then you say, oh, excuse me, Prabhu. You know, I'm taking my instruction elsewhere, so I have to follow their instruction. Thank you for trying to help me, though. It's like that. You know, because they are trying to help you. Oh, you're asleep when you're chanting. You've got to be very careful. It's not a good thing. You can't wake them up, because they might react. And if they do that, then you've lost it. You know, because, you know, it's one of those things. You have to be careful. You're not their spiritual guide. If you're their, if you are their spiritual guide, you tell them after japa. Not during the middle of the japa. when you wake them up, they'll react to you. You know, you just mention it to the person who's looking after that person. You know, they're struggling or whatever. And it should be always then done through their authority. All of us, you know, we all have authorities, shikshas, you know, mentors. Otherwise, you know, it'll come from the wrong quarter. And you'll have so many messages. You know, everybody will have a different point of view. You go round to that devotee, until it meets with your point of view. No, that's not the way. That's not the way. You have to go through a person you respect, and we'll tell you, watch out. It has to be that way. You see them as your shiksha guru or your guide or your authority in whatever you're doing. I don't know if that answers the question. But it's go through authority and don't try and be anybody's boss and, you know, this sort of stuff. You know, we can just acknowledge that we need help of each other and with those we respect and do the best we can. I think it's time, unless there's something urgent that needs to make an inquiry, do you think? Yes, Mataji. Sorry, can you speak again? Through the mic.
Thank you so much for a wonderful class.
Is it on? Can you take it close to you? I can't hear.
Okay. Prabhu was mentioning that women are created for enjoyment of men. And I was just wondering if there is any Shastric evidence on that, because it's very, very dangerous conception.
Yeah.
Even in Christianity, actually, there was kind of... there were several sects, or I don't know. There was kind of this understanding that women even didn't have a soul. So it comes to this point of exploitation if we think like that women are created to be enjoyed by men. And I was just wondering if there is something like that.
It's certainly different religions, but actually, you know, in the Muslim religion, if you go to the real text, it's non-violence are the teachings of the Quran. There is a submission, a degree of submission, but it's according to the nature. It's nothing to do with sexuality. You know, they have their guidance that they should not be subject to the senses too, and that if they do so, that they're subject to the reactions that they'll feel. Certainly in the Quran, when I was reading whatever I was reading in it, that it must not be taken advantage of at all. It's just that it's... they have a different way of expressing their thing. They do not question their position, but neither should the man question his position or compromise his position at the so-called vulnerable position of the woman in their belief. Because there's even in within there the belief. If a man does that, then he goes to hell. You know. That's there. You know, that's thought about. It's mutual respect that one supports the other in their propensity as a man, as a protector, and a woman as to be protected at all times. It's there, it's within their scriptures. And we should feel our position in terms of the scriptures and not in terms of the bodily connection. It's a different thing. Scripture comes away from bodily conception. You respect, it's down to respect that we're all God's family. All of us, we're all God's family. And whether we're in a man's body or a lady's body, we try and abide the teachings of Prabhupada. Try not, certainly what happens with other religions, it's only because I became interested in religion that I started to study these other things. And sometimes it can be helpful to know where they're coming from. But other than that, I direct myself purely to Krishna consciousness. I don't want to go into the Bible and check all why it says that and that and that. I don't want to involve myself with other scriptures other than what was on my path of coming to Prabhupada and the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. I don't want to get involved with too many scriptures. It's just we can understand only in such a way that it will help our interfaith existence. That they're not, we don't argue whether a dog has a soul or not with a Christian. We don't argue with that. No, we just say what it says in our scriptures. That's a spirit soul in a dog as well. You know, that's all we say. We don't argue with them. You know, we just say we follow in this way. You know, we have to become detached from these arguments with other religions, you know. Certainly, we follow the teachings of Prabhupada. That's the best thing, really. You know, free from the material designations of Christian and Hindu and all these things. We try and come away from that. So it's respect, to give respect for all. Okay.
Prajna Prabhu, just one small point, and that is that we can all agree that from Sastric that the female energy has pleasure-giving potency. We see this in Radharani, and we understand this in Prakriti and all this, and that's why the female pleasure-giving.
Yeah, but gradually female. You won't look at that.
No, yes, I understand. Yeah. But that's there. That is there.
Yes, and I'm not saying it's not.
Yeah. So it's not to make a
I'm not asking you to deny, but I'm asking you to get knowledge.
Yeah, well, that's where knowledge starts.
And that's what will help you. Yeah.
Okay.
It's knowledge.
Yeah. We're trying to understand.
That's our guard. That's our protection. Knowledge. We have to, you know, follow Prabhupada in that. I think we better finish here, actually. Okay, it could go on forever. Krishna Katha is deep as an ocean, and we're very fortunate in that it is, because it's for all of us, and in our different ways. Okay, so excuse me for this. We'll stop there. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.